The back door flung open, momentarily framing Liz in a sliver of light. She stumbled down the stone steps and fell to her knees, the sound of gunfire ricocheting off the house behind her. A shimmering fist of cloud obscured the moon, and she could just make out the car a few yards ahead of her. "Get down!" a man shouted, as a spinning smoking canister bounced over the cobbled path, tear gas spraying in all directions. Choking, Liz clawed at the ground, dragging herself up behind the vehicle. There was a sequence of loud pops and something hot flicked off the side of her face as black boots thundered past. Startled, she covered her head with her hands, desperately scanning the shadows for a way of escape. Suddenly, a spectacled face loomed into view, and soldier in fatigues and a brown beret grabbed her by the shoulders. It was Osgood. "Dr. Shaw, come with me." Before she could respond, he pulled her roughly to her feet and bundled her off into the darkness. Liz paused to readjust the pile of folders she was carrying. She had foolishly left her briefcase in her office and was kicking herself at her short-sightedness. It was nearly noon, and much of that morning had been spent overseeing the installation of the university's new computer system. A recent grant from a generous alum had provided most of the funding, and over £30 million had been allocated to several different departments. Liz had just returned from a series of meetings when she stumbled into a technician unspooling a massive length of cabling. "Excuse me, Dr. Shaw," he muttered sheepishly. "That's quite all right," she smiled. "Any word on the primary terminal? I think Dr. Holt is running the first test now. Thank you." She stepped gingerly over the serpentine mass of wire and turned down a nearby corridor. A woman was peering into the window of the computer lab. "May I help you?" she asked, fumbling to retrieve her keycard from her pocket. "Liz!" the woman exclaimed, a wide smile on her face. Liz seemed momentarily taken aback. "Allison?" Just then, the folder slipped from her hands. She cursed under her breath, stooping to collect the stray paperwork cascading along the floor. Allison dropped to help her, and the two old friends quickly gathered the various charts and diagrams into the semblance of a pile. "What are you doing here?" Liz asked, incredulously. "I came to see you, of course. But I thought you were in Uganda, coordinating the relief operation." "I was." Allison handed a sheaf of papers to Liz, and she tucked it back into the folder. "But I had a bit of a bug, so Paragon flew me back for treatment." They stood up and Liz clumsily readjusted the stack of paperwork. "A bug?" she said. "Nothing too serious, I take it." "Oh, not really. Just an intestinal worm, as long as your arm." Liz grimaced and Allison slipped an arm around her shoulder. "Let's get lunch." The pub was crowded with students, but Liz and Allison managed to find a small table on the back patio. "Jeff was in Brussels just last week," said Allison, nibbling at a sandwich. "Paragon was hosting a conference on civic stabilization systems." "That sounds vaguely sinister," Liz quipped. "Not as sinister as Urban Surveillance Initiative." "I see your point." "Anyway, he's back now and working on a new project. I don't know much about it, but he said it might be something you can help me with." "Me?" said Liz with mild amusement. Allison smoothed the napkin across her lap. "That's actually why I'm here, Liz," she said, a subtle change in her demeanour. There was an uncertainness in her voice, a fleeting apprehension perhaps, but just enough to pick up on. "Jeff's always taken keen interest in your work, you know." "I can't imagine why," Liz said flatly. "Sometimes I don't even take an interest in it myself." Allison chuckled and took a quick sip of wine. Liz eased back into a chair, absently fingering the stem of a wine glass. She had met Allison's husband, Jeffrey, only once before. It was at a symposium held in conjunction with the University School of Biological Sciences and Paragon, a global security company. Jeffrey had delivered a short lecture on the application of biometrics in a variety of disciplines, everything from financial management systems to kidnapping and hostage prevention. It was very informative, but when an attendee broached the issue of personal privacy during the Q&A that followed, Jeffrey's evasiveness, coupled with a rather sarcastic demeanour, had left her somewhat cold. "We should have dinner, don't you think?" Liz looked up. Alison was herself again, all traces of uneasiness having evaporated. Perhaps Liz was only imagining things. She certainly wanted to believe it, but she suspected otherwise. Regardless, she had played her part exactly as instructed. It was surprisingly easy, and Alison was none the wiser. At least she hoped so. "Definitely," said Liz, offering a quick but somewhat tepid smile. "It would be good to catch up." Alison laughed and swirled the wine in a glass. "Perfect. I'll tell Geoffrey. I know he can't wait to pick your brain." Geoffrey greeted Liz with a warm hug and slid into the booth next to Alison. "Sorry I'm late," said Liz apologetically. "We've been running a test sequence on the new mainframe. It's astoundingly fast, one of the fastest in Europe." "So I gather," said Geoffrey as he poured Liz a glass of wine. "Physics and chem are already fighting each other for it." "They just have to learn to share," Alison chimed in. Liz flipped her menu open. "That's easier said than done." "But not impossible," added Geoffrey. "I found the free exchange of information essential to the success of any worthwhile endeavour. As a matter of fact, my work at Paragon depends on it." "And what is that exactly?" Liz had proffered the question as nonchalantly as possible, but when she glanced up from the menu, Geoffrey seemed to be studying her with a cool, almost academic detachment. "The modern world can be an unpleasant place, and for the first time in history, the threat of global annihilation is a frightening possibility. Paragon was founded to ensure the security of our society in these challenging times." Liz appeared dubious. "Is that the speech you give your clients?" Geoffrey huffed. "It sounds better after a bottle of scotch." "Most things do." "You were always a skeptic," said Alison with mock aggravation. "It's my job," Liz responded proudly, "and I'm still uncertain as to what it is you're peddling, Geoffrey." "Peddling? You make it sound so unseemly." "Forgive me, but in my experience, security is a word that's rather easily abused." Geoffrey swirled his glass, savouring the bouquet. "I agree, but the alternative is a world enslaved to the narrowness of the individual's vision. Paragon has grown beyond those confines, beyond the corporate dominance of technology, and certainly beyond the secrecy and selfishness of government." "Beyond democracy," said Liz. Geoffrey laughed. "Democracy? By whose definition?" "By most people's, I imagine." "Imagination is what most of them lack." There was a finality to the statement, and Liz decided it best not to argue. There was a brief but noticeable silence until Alison said, "I hope you're hungry, because I'm absolutely famished." "Starving," said Liz with a notable sense of relief. "In that case, why don't I order?" Geoffrey reached over and deftly plucked the menu from Liz's hands as a waiter approached the table. Across the street from the restaurant, Sergeant Tom Osgood of UNIT sat slouched in a car, intently tuning a small radio receiver resting on his lap. The speaker crackled momentarily, and then a voice, slightly distorted but recognisable, came through. It was Liz. "The militarization of science should be everyone's concern. The guiding principle of my work has always been to ensure the peace and stability of the global community." Alison laid her fork aside. "But therein lies a problem. The global community, as you call it, has become nothing but a nebulous cadre of elitists." Geoffrey dabbed his mouth with his napkin. "Alison's right, Liz. Time and again, nationalistic loyalties have proven to be easily manipulated to ensure the total control of knowledge and innovation." "If you're referring to the government," Liz began before Alison cut her off. "Not just our government, Liz, but those of our so-called allies as well." "Even the United Nations, as altruistic as it appears on the surface, is no better." Geoffrey was becoming increasingly animated, warming to his subject. "Ask yourself why an organisation supposedly dedicated to the peaceful advancement of mankind would require its own security service." Liz was quiet. She would have to tread cautiously now. Up to this point, she had allowed Geoffrey and Alison to steer the conversation carefully, responding to any query with friendly but vaguely non-committal answers. She slid her wine glass forward. You're referring to you, Nett? Alison glanced at Geoffrey. He picked up the bottle and refilled Liz's glass. I'm no longer affiliated with that organisation. Perhaps not, said Geoffrey. But what interests me is why does it matter? It must, or you wouldn't have left in the first place. It was Alison speaking, and Liz turned to her friend. She gave a half shrug. I found the work unrewarding. A scientist of your calibre? I find that difficult to believe, said Geoffrey. Perhaps it was the nature of your assignment that ultimately proved dissatisfying. You've never struck me as the kind of woman who enjoys playing second fiddle to anyone. Especially a pompous eccentric with no legitimate credentials, piped in Alison. The doctor is a brilliant man, said Liz, a hint of irritation in her voice, if somewhat unconventional. So you admit he exists? Geoffrey flashed a canine smile. The information we have on him is decidedly thin. That's no accident, said Liz. He's their golden boy. Naturally, UNIT is keen to protect their investment. You sound somewhat bitter, Elizabeth. I'd better things to do than tinker around in a basement. I have my own career after all. A career that was unceremoniously interrupted, murmured Alison in a subtle attempt to stroke Liz's seeming resentment. And for whose benefit? Added Geoffrey. Whose benefit? Liz was silent. They were working in tandem now, systematically attempt to break down her defences, and she wondered how long they had practised their attack. She looked away for a moment, her nails absently picking at a small snag in the tablecloth. Alison reached out and laid her hand across Liz's. Certainly not yours. It was raining when they left the restaurant. Liz and Alison huddled under the awning as they waited for Geoffrey to bring the car round. I'm glad we had chance to talk, said Alison, squeezing closer to Liz as a slight shiver ran through her. I knew you and Geoffrey would hit it off, given the chance. He's definitely given me a lot to think about, and you as well. I just hope he didn't come on too strong. Geoffrey isn't known for his subtlety. I find it refreshing, Liz lied. At least you know where he stands. The car pulled up and Geoffrey got out with an umbrella. Ready, darling? He put his arm around Alison, then looked to Liz. I hope your car is close. It's just around the corner. Geoffrey handed Liz the umbrella. Here, take this. Don't want you getting all wet. Thanks. I'll see you both this weekend. I can't wait, said Alison. Geoffrey steered her towards the car as the rain pummeled the pavement at their feet. Till Saturday, he said, before climbing behind the wheel. Liz watched the car speed off, the taillights bleeding red as it disappeared into the distance. She lingered for a moment, her fingers tightening on the umbrella, a grimness settling over her features. Then she turned and crossed the street where Osgood was still waiting. He slid the window down and she leaned in, large droplets cascading along the contours of the car. Did you get it? Osgood nodded. Yes, Dr. Shaw, this weekend then. That's right, she said quietly. The house. The house at Whittaker Hill. The house was set back from the road, the weathered stone sheltered by a cluster of trees that ringed the property. A ramshackle barn, the roof partially collapsed, sat adjacent to it, the door sagging with age. Liz buttoned her jacket as Alison approached, a small basket tucked under her arm. It's good to be back, said Liz. It hasn't changed much. Alison smirked. Remember the weekend before finals? We drove out with Alicia and Emily. Liz rolled her eyes. The night the boys broke the window. Those idiots, said Alison, shaking her head. They scared me half to death. You think four men with graduate degrees would open a door properly? Well, two of them were in theatre studies, added Alison dryly. So it's not really surprising. They giggled at the memory, and then Alison said, I'm glad Geoffrey came. I've always wanted him to see it. Where is he? I haven't seen him all morning. Oh, probably on the phone, sighed Alison. He's been chattering away for over an hour. Paragon must keep him busy. Alison nodded, the wind whipping at her hair. He's very important, she said, and he believes in what he's doing. What about you? Asked Liz. The question seemed to hang in the air. Alison straightened her cap, pulling it tight over her ears. I believe in Geoffrey, she said, a firmness to her voice. She handed Liz a basket. Shall we go? Without waiting for a response, she started towards the trailhead at the edge of the trees. The sun was fading when they returned, long orange rays slicing across the fields and towards the sea beyond. Liz picked at the feeble assortment of mushrooms gathered in the basket. "They all look rather anemic," she muttered. "I hope they won't ruin your sauce." Alison laughed. "Nothing could ruin it, believe me." "Well, at least we have plenty of wine," Liz said. "I'm looking forward to putting my feet up." "You brought what Geoffrey requested?" Liz closed the basket. She'd spent the last 2 days quietly preparing herself for what was about to transpire. There were moments when her nerve had almost deserted her and she had seriously contemplated pulling out. As a scientist, she had been trained to carefully and dispassionately act only in relation to facts, regardless of any personal implications. But as a friend... "Yes," she said, fighting back her anxiety. It's in my briefcase." She couldn't bring herself to look at Alison. As they headed up the cobbled path of the house, Liz glanced back at the barn. There was a single window at the apex, nestled just under the roof. The panes were cracked and blackened with dirt, and her eyes lingered there for a brief moment before she turned away, before a figure flitted past the glass, the shadow dissolving in the dying sunlight. Geoffrey slid the record from its sleeve and gently slipped it over the spindle. The arm automatically swung into position, the needle slowly descending onto the glistening black vinyl. A delicate waltz drifted from the speakers, and Liz closed her eyes, letting the music wash over her. "Well, how was the sauce?" whispered Alison, tucking her legs up onto the couch. Liz opened her eyes. "Are you referring to the pasta or the wine?" she quipped, holding up her glass. Alison batted her on the shoulder. "The pasta, of course. I know the wine is excellent. Geoffrey picked it out." He grinned. "I must admit I pride myself on my rather discerning palate." "You pride yourself on everything," said Alison. Geoffrey leaned over and gave her a quick kiss. "Knowledge is power, my darling." She raised her glass. "Our toast to that." Geoffrey turned to Liz. She was strangely quiet. "Actually, I think that honour belongs to Liz," he said. "Oh, and why's that?" "You've taken a tremendous chance, and I want you to know how much Alison and I appreciate it." "It was a difficult decision," said Liz. She took a deep breath to steady herself. "But in the end, I knew what I had to do." "The unit files? You were able to retrieve them?" he asked. "Yes." Liz set her glass aside and picked up the brown leather satchel on the side of the davenport. "They're here." Geoffrey took the case and laid it on the table. "You'll need the key," said Liz, producing it from her pocket. She handed it to Alison, her fingers faintly trembling. There was a soft click as Alison turned the lock and the latch snapped open. Outside in the barn, Osgood sat hunched over a transmitter. A group of soldiers silently huddled around him. The screen suddenly oscillated, a red light winking on and off, and a shrill beeping pierced the dusty confines of the loft. The soldiers quickly unslung their rifles and clambered down a nearby ladder. Geoffrey greedily pulled a manila folder from the case. He flipped it open and quickly scanned the contents. He frowned. Liz stepped away and Alison came over, a look of concern on her face.
"What is it, Geoff?"
He handed her the folder.
I don't understand," said Alison, hurriedly paging through the file. "These photos... Geoff, these photos are us!"
She trailed off, a sudden realisation dawning. The folder slipped from her fingers, scattering the black and white images along a tabletop.
"I was told you might contact me," said Liz quietly. "The truth is, you've both been under surveillance for some time."
Alison rounded on a friend.
"You were part of this?" she sputtered in disbelief.
Geoffrey remained motionless, a strange, almost unnatural smugness about him.
"Not initially," said Liz. "At first, I didn't believe it. I didn't want to."
Her voice trembled, a wave of feeling rising inside her.
"But then..." A deafening crack interrupted her and Alison jumped at the sound. Geoffrey cocked his head and Liz detected a fleeting panic play over his face. He took a sudden step toward her, his mouth tightening in anger. Liz stood her ground. Did you really think I'd betray the doctor? The pounding intensified, the front door beginning to splinter. Or unit, for that matter. Geoffrey reached into his blazer, deftly producing a small silver pistol. No, Jeff, said Alison, attempting to grab his arm. He shrugged her off as Liz lurched out of the room. She darted into the hall, but Geoffrey was right behind her. He grabbed her violently by the hair, pulling her head back and jabbing a pistol into her ribs. Let's go, he snarled, and he shoved her down the hall, Alison staggering frantically after them. Just then, the front door broke open and a unit soldier burst into the house. He leveled his rifle at the fleeing figures and Geoffrey spun, firing blindly down the hall. The bullet exploded against a mirror in the foyer and the soldier threw himself behind a large grandfather clock, the mechanism chiming erratically as he slammed against it. Alison screamed and dropped into a crouch. Sheltering in the bathroom doorway, Geoffrey paused, Liz squirming in his grip. Alison! He bellowed, but his wife was frozen in terror, her face streaked with tears. Get up, Alison! He tried to reach for her, but she pulled away, hysterical, his attention diverted. Liz twisted free and sprinted away down the hall. Outside, two more soldiers had emerged from the dilapidated barn and were scrambling up the path toward the house. Don't move! One of them yelled as the back door swung open and Liz toppled out. She hit the ground hard, her boots sliding on the cobbles as she scurried for cover behind her car. Geoffrey appeared behind her, silhouetted in the doorway. A gas canister streaked through the air, striking the side of the house, talons of gas erupting. Retching loudly, Geoffrey dropped back inside the door, firing at the advancing squad of soldiers. Seconds later, a stray cartridge bounced across Liz's cheek, and when she looked up, she saw Geoffrey doubling over, the pistol falling into the weeds as he tumbled from the house. Liz sat quietly in the Jeep, a heavy army blanket draped over her shoulders. It was nearly dawn, and a long purple arc was forming on the horizon. An ambulance had arrived, and she watched as the attendants lifted a shrouded stretcher into the back. Two soldiers stalked past, clutching Alison behind them. Her eyes were black and sunken, and she groaned softly as the ambulance door was slammed shut. She looked up at Liz, her mouth twisting into an agonized snarl, a combination of anger, sadness, and shock. Liz couldn't bear it. She dropped her head and pulled the blanket tighter. Liz stood by the window in her office, listening to the quiet, rhythmic hum of the air conditioning. Sunlight played across the blinds, bands of shadow stretching out over the floor. It was Friday afternoon and the building was almost empty. Liz lifted the teacup to her lips. You did the right thing, Dr. Shaw. Liz paused, then lowered the cup. I did what was asked, she mused. It's not necessarily the same thing. The Brigadier quietly stirred his tea. In this case, it was. You seem very certain of that, aren't you? Liz was silent again. Outside, a student cycled swiftly across the campus and Liz watched until he disappeared from view. She was my friend, Brigadier. She was also a traitor. Liz turned a brief fire in her eyes. The Brigadier was stoic. They both were. Liz looked away again. She took a quick sip of her tea. What about Paragon? The Brigadier set his cup aside.
Paragon was merely a front for an intelligence clearinghouse, posing as security consultants, allowing them to gather data on a variety of clientele, civilian and military.
That's clever, said Liz. I suppose that's why they wanted the doctor.
Yes, a man of his expertise would prove an invaluable resource.
And you have to protect your assets, right, Brigadier? She was smiling, but there was a slight edge to her voice. The Brigadier raised an eyebrow, a trace of bemusement on his face. He picked up his cap and tucked it under his arm. Liz followed him to the door. Are you going to tell him what happened? She asked.
That depends. Do you want me to?
Liz appeared to ponder the question. No, she said. No, I suppose it isn't important.
Oh, I'm sure he would appreciate your dedication, Miss Shaw.
Would he? The Brigadier was quiet. Then,
your time with the unit was extremely important, Elizabeth. I hope you won't forget that.
He held out his hand. She hesitated for a moment before taking it. Something seemed to pass between them, something without words.
Goodbye, Dr. Shaw. Thank you.
Goodbye, Brigadier. She watched as he turned abruptly and went out.